Today I want to ask a question we have not asked before. There's something new in honor of our esteemed guest, Ari Rosenstein, who's here from Ramat Beit Shemesh Aleph. And that is something that takes place really starting at the end of Parshat Vayetze, but is central in this week's parasha. If you take a look at Parshat Vayishlach, Vayishlach is all about the journey. Because Vayishlach begins with Yaakov's separation from Lavan. That's the last couple of psukim Vayetze. And now, and he mentions it in his first message, in Lavan Garti. And he's now at the foothills, I would say, of the Gilad in Jordan. And Vayishlach ends with Yaakov arriving in Hebron. So it's that journey back. And where does Yaakov go? Or shall we say, let's step it back, where do we expect Yaakov to go when he leaves Lavan? So let's take a look at the psukim and see what we expect. The entire episode begins with the beginning of their division, chapter 31, where we suddenly hear about new characters that we never heard about before, and that is Bnei Lavan, which is where all the trouble starts. We've talked about that in the past, that it's with the sudden appearance of sons of Lavan, who then get jealous about Yaakov's place in the family. Yaakov's place in the family ostensibly was to be adopted as the heir and become the paterfamilias, and with the sudden appearance, birth later, of Lavan's sons, that all changes. And therefore, Vayishmat divrei bnei Lavan, lemor lakach Yaakov et kol asher lavinu, asher lavinu asad kol hakavod hazeh. So Yaakov is taking all of our stuff. Vayar Yaakov et pnei Lavan, v'inenu imokit mosul shom, which does prove to you, by the way, that Yaakov and Lavan did have a congenial, positive relationship for the first while. And now suddenly Yaakov senses Lavan is no longer feeling the same way. And now Hashem speaks to Yaakov. And what does he say? Shuv el eretz avotecha ulemolatecha veyeh imach. What does Hashem say to him?
Go
back. Well, careful. What does he say? Go back to the land of your ancestors and to your family. Well, let it remember, unlike modern Hebrew, where it means birthplace, and Tanakh means family. Veyeh imach. And I'll be with you. That's all he says. And now Yaakov has to go tell his wives that it's time to bug out. All right, and so you take a look at the psukim, and he calls them, and he gives them the entire he reads them the brief that he's going to bring to Esav, to Lavan, about how Lavan has mistreated him, and Hashem has been with him. And then look in the next, the blue shaded piece, and I'll tell you why I shouldn't shade it the same way. We heard what Hashem said to Yaakov. Now, let me just step back for a second and ask a question. In the Torah, you have, what's the single most popular pasuk in all Torah? Shows up more than any other pasuk. By the Vayivar Adonai Moshe Limor. Shows up dozens of times. All right? And now, by the Vayivar Adonai Moshe Limor, Davel B'nei Yisrael Martalehem, often that's the next piece, right? And then what do we hear? We hear what it is that Hashem tells Moshe to tell the people. We do not hear Moshe repeat it to the people. Once in a while, we hear the opposite. Hashem tells Moshe a message, and then we hear Moshe telling the people, and we hear the whole message. The Ramban explains the reasons. There's no reason to repeat it, because we assume Moshe, being the Eben Neman, is going to repeat the message exactly how he got it. So there's no reason to have Hashem saying it and then Moshe telling it, when it's exactly the same thing. Which, of course, why we pay very close attention, for instance, to the differences between the narrative story about the slave and his retelling the story to Lavan and Betuel, and why we pay a lot of attention, for instance, to the narrative description of Pharaoh's dreams, Paro retelling the dreams, and then Yosef's retelling the retelling as part of his solution, that those little differences make a difference. But here there's no reason to. Now, here we find something weird. Hashem says to Yaakov, go back home. And now Yaakov calls his wives and tells them that it's time to leave. And then he wants to bring God into the picture to back it up. What should it say? Should it say, Vayaged lahen Yaakov et asher diber Hashem? Right? Instead, what do we have? We have a whole big piece. Right, so while the sheep are mating, Vayesainai, by the way, it's almost like Nesiat Einayim is almost always prophetic. Vayesa Avraham et Einav, Vayar v'hinei Ayil, Vayar tamakom merachok. Right, what? That's probably a little different. That's more like Tefillat HaDerech. You know, I'm looking up, but Nesiat Einayim in Chumash is almost always a prophetic sense. Right? Va'ir b'chalom v'ineha atudim ha'olim alatzon akudim nekudim uvridim. I started to see that all the males are spotted in the way that's going to benefit me, right? Va'yomer elai malach ha'elohim. And now a malach speaks to me. Now, who spoke to Yaakov, actually? It says Hashem did. Va'yomer elai malach ha'elohim b'chalom Yaakov v'omar hineni. So now he has a chalom, nevui, by the way, which matches, of course, the first scene in Vayitze. And he says, and Yaakov says, Hineini, Vayomer, Sana inechore. Here we go again. Call out to Dima Lemetzon, Kunim Kadim Vodim, Kiraitid, Kol Asher Levano Selach. I, God, have seen everything Levan's doing to you, and now I'm going to help you out. And so you see in this vision that all of the spotted and the striped or whatever it is, the ones that you're supposed to get, are that all the ones that are multiplying? And then, Anochi Ha'el Beit El, I am the God of Beit El. Asher Mashachta Sham Matseva. Now, we don't know if the girls know about this at all, till now. Shemashachta sham matseva, you anointed the matseva there. Ashenadarta li sham neder, you made a neder there. What was the neder? If you take care of me and you bring me back, I'm going to make this a Beit Elohim. Right? Ata kum tse mina aretz hazot v'shuv al eretz molatecha. Now, the only part of that that's actually same as what he heard was l'molatecha. There's no ve'yeimach. There's no Mshuva Leretz Avotecha, and there's a whole big thing about Beit El that's not part of what Hashem says to him. So we have two possibilities here, just a priori. Possibility one is that Yaakov had two different visions. We're told about one that he didn't report to his wives, and then we had another one with the Malach that he did report to his wives, in which case you got to wonder, well, why didn't he tell him about the first one?
The first one was Maladecha.
Yeah, the one in purple. No, but he doesn't say Eyeimach. He doesn't say Eretz Avotecha, right? And he doesn't even and in the blue one, he's got all this other stuff. So the question is, did he have two different things where Hashem spoke to him and said Shu'al Eretz Avotecha, and then a Malach came and told him this whole thing about the Nekudim, Nekudim Nekudim? Well, then you got to wonder, why did he need a second message? Did Yaakov not get it after the first message? It's time to leave.
But I'm confused by something. Is the blue what he's telling his wife?
Yes.
So possibly, if it's explaining the purple.
No. I'm proposing two things. I mean, it's one of two things. A priori, without any better information, we have two possibilities. Possibility one is that what you're seeing in front of us is the blue is a second vision Yaakov had that he's now reporting to his wives. And following that principle that I mentioned earlier of the Ramban, there's no reason for us to hear it twice. Right? He reports to his wives. In the meantime, the first piece in the purple is what Hashem told him, and he didn't. But then you got to ask two questions about that. Question one is, well, why doesn't he tell that part to his wives? And part two is that if the first thing is that Hashem told him, Shuval Eretz Avotecha, he didn't get that? Like he needed another message with a malach? It's a little strange. What's another possibility?
Why can't it just be an expansion?
Well, it's only an expansion. First of all, it's an expansion that's way beyond an expansion. All right? Because first of all, when you're reporting Hashem's words, that means you're acting as a Navi. Hashem gives you words and you pass them on to somebody else, you're acting as a Navi. You have an obligation to report the words faithfully of what you heard.
Who's the message for?
Evidently for his wives, because they're going to leave. Now,
the message was for Yaakov, and Yaakov is...
So you say he's just telling them because he has to convince them to go and tell them God's behind it.
Right.
So why doesn't he just say, God told me I got to go?
He has, in Pasuk Hey, he gives them kind of a little synopsis of what God said to him, right? And he says, Laban isn't with me, Bela...
Haya imadi. What does Haya imadi mean?
What?
That means God has been with me, even though Laban's against me. Right? And how do I know God's with me? Because I feel his presence. God's with me because of the success in the flock. Something else.
Now as we leave.
Yeimach. No, let's the words Hayayimadi was with me, not will be.
Up until now.
No, I mean he, right, so. What does that have to do with what he first?
Now we're going to leave. You can trust that God's going to be with us as we leave.
Where does he say that in the blue?
What does he say? We have to
What does it say in the blue? No. Let's with the words. What does it say in the
he
blue?
You have to say God will trust me again. It's implied.
Not God will trust me. Where does
I
it
mean,
say God?
Will be with me.
Really? It's implied.
Why
if it's implied, then why does God have to say it to him? Ve'yayimach. Please, Yaakov can understand that the girls understand it. And he doesn't have to explain it, but God has to explain it
he
to him.
He doesn't say imachem. He says imach. And when we say ve'yidaver adonai moshe le'emor,
yeah,
that's Hashem is usually telling Moshe to say something to Klal Yisrael.
Good.
Here, Hashem is not telling Yaakov to say anything.
Good. He's just talking to Yaakov, which means maybe Yaakov had no business telling them.
Or he could have told them whatever he wanted.
Oh, very good. Thank you. So, possibility two, and this is why I put it in blue, because I want to leave it open as possibility, is that Hashem said to him what he said in the purple. And what does Yaakov do? What's Yaakov's job? Because you're right, he's not a Navi. Thank you. He's not a Navi. What's his job here? He's trying to convince them they got to go. Now, evidently he feels that just saying to them, we got to go, is not good enough. Who does he have to bring into the picture? Got to bring God into the picture. But he adds something else in, which is vital. He adds something else in that God never mentioned in his words. Molad techa, eyeimach, yafet. What does he add in? He adds in the whole thing about Kudim the Kudim, which means what's he doing? He's tying in his financial success with God and leaving. Because if you think about it, financial success is a good reason to stay. We're doing so well. Let's stick around. So he turns the financial success actually into a reason to leave. Right? By turning this into part of this vision that he has in the Chalom, with the Malach. Second thing, which is critical, is he invokes a neder. Now, this is very much in tune with what we said a couple weeks ago and last week about giving people information, but not necessarily misleading them, but giving them information and letting them mislead themselves. What does he actually say here? He says that God represented himself as the God of Beit El, where you made a neder. He doesn't say what the neder is. And at no point does he represent God as saying, fulfill that neder. But if you hear it and you're really, really afraid of getting on the wrong side of God by not fulfilling an oath, this is going to scare you. Because you say, ooh, I didn't know that. You've got an oath with God, you've got to fulfill. We better go. But he never says that. And the good reason he never said it, because that's not what God said.
His neder was to go.
His letter was, when you return me in peace,
right,
I will come and build a Beit Elohim here. Now, that leads us, though, to the question. How come Yaakov doesn't go to Beit El? Yaakov, at this point, should pick up, pack his bags, do whatever he has to get away from Lavan, negotiate, gal-aid, yegor sahaduta, and then pick up and go to Beit El. You want to tell me that it took time and they had to stop in the desert for a while and they had to set up Sukkot for a while in order to let the animals rest and everything else from the trek? I get it. So please look at the bottom of the page and you'll see why this is a problem. Confront Esau. Got to do all that stuff. Got to confront Esau, let him rest, all of that stuff. Good. So I'll put it a little bit more generously. The minute they cross the Jordan River, they should go to Beit El.
Right.
That's the question. Because he doesn't. And he not only doesn't, he doesn't in spades. Please take a look.
Wow.
He does. One second. After Yaakov has his whole interaction with Esav and finishes, Vayomer Esav Nenecha V'Achal Negdecha. Okay? So he says, Esav says, travel with me. The animals are pregnant, etc., etc. I can't go so fast. You got 400 men. I got all these animals and pregnant women or whatever. Not pregnant, but actually one's pregnant. I'll catch up with you. A famous midrash. I'll catch up with you. So Esau keeps nudging him to staying around with him. Yaakov keeps pushing him off. And so he was successful. He comes to Sukkot. Where's Sukkot? It doesn't exist yet. He comes to a place. We know where Sukkot is. Tell Dir Allah at the fork of the Yabok. And so he sets up a house there. Because he's going to be there for a while. He'll be there for a while. Maybe the pregnant animals, like he said, whatever it is. He'll be there for a while. But he doesn't settle in. He doesn't settle down. He settles in. Okay? He builds booth for his mikna, which means, by the way, he's there through seasons. You know, the midrash says 18 months. He's there through seasons because he has to protect them. Alken Kereshem Makom Sukkot. So that's why he called it Sukkot, or else it was already called Sukkot, and he renames it. You know, the old Alken Shem Ha'ir, etc. problem. Now, here's the problem I want to get to. Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shchem. Asher Be'eretz Kanan, Vom Padan Aram, Vayichan et Pnei Ha'ir. What does that mean? What does it mean? Vayavo Yaakov Shalem Ir Shechem. The Rashbam says Pshat. Very simple Pshat, which is he came to Shalem, which is the city of Shechem. Shalem, the village Salem, which is just to the east of Shechem today. He comes to Shalem Ir Shechem.
Shalem
was the name of the town, the Rashbam, right?
Of Shechem or here?
The city owned by Shechem. Shechem is a guy. Shechem's not a city, Shechem's a guy, right?
Well,
at this point, Shechem's a guy. It's not a city yet. Asher Be'eretz Kanan v'vom Padan Aram.
Who's
the Rashbam?
No,
but simple pshat in the Pasuk. Why? Why not?
Because the English doesn't say that. That's
why not?
No. Other than the Rashbam, does anybody say that?
Well, no, but the Rashbam's point is that there is that
Rashi has a shalem that he came shalem.
Yes, it's all a nice midrash. Yes, except that we never have an adjective or something for anything else.
Wouldn't it be shalema?
No, not necessarily.
If you're going to somewhere,
not to. He arrived at there. That would be shalem. Welcome shalem. I'll show you. Look at the Rashbam. You'll see. My point is not about shalem. That's a well-known thing. Point is, vayichan apnei ha'ir. What does he do? He camps where? On the east side of the city. And take a look. Stand up on Hargri Zim. I was there a couple weeks ago. Look down. There's Tel Shiloh. There's Kever Yosef. And there's Salam to the east of the city. And that's where Yaakov camps. Okay. And here's the pasuk that really sticks in the throat. Vayiken et chalkat ha-sadeh. What does he do? He buys a field. Asher natasham ohalo miyarech v'nechamor v'ishchem. So Shechem, who later becomes the name of the city, but right now is the prince of the city, he buys it from the family of Chamor Avishchem, and Me'aksitan. We even get a price that he paid. Why is Yaakov going to Shechem? He's not coming to Shechem and stopping in the Motel 6 and letting him leave the light on for a little bit, and then going down to Beit El. He's buying land and settling down. And what happens in the whole next parak, which I didn't reproduce here, because no need to, it's the terrible disaster in Shechem, the rape of Dina, and then the deception of the people of the city, and the massacre, and everything else, and how that plays out. So the question I'm really asking is, why not Beit El? But the real question is, why Shechem? Why Shechem? So let's go back to the beginning. And I'll remind you of something we said in the summer, last summer. In Parshat Ki Tavoh, we're given a mitzvah. It starts in Parshat Re'eh, at the beginning of Re'eh. It's reproduced here in Source 8. And then it's explicated in much more detail in Ki Tavoh. And that is the mitzvah that when you come to the land, you're supposed to come up to Har Gerizim and Har Ival and do the bracha and klala. And which six tribes are each side? I suggested at the time that the reason for that is because if you look at Eretz Yisrael, you ask, where's the center of Eretz Yisrael? Everybody says Yerushalayim. It's just not true. If you look at Eretz Yisrael from the perspective of biblical borders, you will see that Shechem is right in the middle. If you look at the bottom border, which is Beersheba, and the top border, which is somewhere in the Lebanon, Shechem is right in the middle. If you look at the Yam HaTichon, and you look at the Yarden, Shechem is right in the middle.
There are no borders back.
What?
There are no borders.
The borders of Tanakh. The borders of Tanakh that we recognize. Beersheba, even in the time of the Avot, was the southernmost point of Eretz Canaan. That was where your exit place to another country. Shechem is right in the middle. And watch what happens. Where's the first place that Avram comes when he comes to the land? Please take a look at Source 3. V'arvor Avram ba'aretz ad mekom Shechem ad elon morev akneinyaz ba'aretz. So Hashem says, lech lecha. He goes south. He goes south, 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 and he gets to Shechem.
That's where he named Shechem. In the time of Avram.
No, in the time of Moshe.
No, you're saying it.
Yeah, we're not. Same thing with Dan. I mean, you have the problem, right? How do you have Dan in the time of Avram? Right? Moshe. Okay? Vayera Adonai el Avram, vayom elezarecha atenet haaretz hazot. So he says to Avram, I'm giving your kids this land. Vayivan shem yizbeach l'Adonai ne'irei lot. Now, I always understood, and I think a little differently, that Avram now moves because, well, he came there, built him his Be'ach, nice, and now he's moving south because he's got to move around the country and set up JSU chapters everywhere. I'm not so sure about that, because you think about how bizarre this is. Avram comes to a place, there's a little town there, there's a tree, and he And he and Hashem appears to him and says, give me your kids this land. He builds him his Beach, and then he leaves. Very strange. So I'm going to suggest why. Vayatek Mishamahar, he goes from there south. Mikedem Levet El Vayet Olo, he sets up his tent. That's not permanent, that's moving. And he says, Beit El Miyam Vay Mikedem, between Beit El and Ha'ai, Vayivan Sham Mizbeach, Lad Rami Kav Hashem Adonai, he sets up another Mizbeach, and now he publicly calls out. He didn't have that before. Vayisav Ram Aloch Manasol HaNegban, then what does he do? He keeps going south. Why is he going south? So Vayihira Ab Ba'aretz, I think, is actually happening earlier. I think what happened is, because why would Avram move? He gets to Shechem. He sets, Hashem says, I'm giving you this land. He sets in Mizbeach. By the way, what did Hashem say to him? Lech Lecha, come on, Mi'artzecha, Mulatecha, Beit Avicha, where? El Aretz Asharecha. He comes to Shechem, and what happens? Hashem says, this is the land. And Avram sets in Mizbeach. What's the next move Avram should make? Settle down. Instead, what does he do? He goes south. I think the simplest explanation of that is because there's a famine. And he starts moving towards Mitzrayim. So as he's moving, he sets up a tent, builds a Mizbeach, tries to publicize the name, keeps moving south. And that Mizbeach becomes important, he comes back to that place. But notice, Avram never goes back to Shechem. Then what happens? And let me talk about why this is. In the aftermath with Yaakov, Yaakov comes, leaves Shechem after the rape thing, and now moves down to Beit El. He comes to Beit El. Before he gets to Beit El, he tells everybody, give me all the foreign gods that you got. The Rishonim say that they got them in the looting of Shechem, perhaps. All foreign gods that you got. Actually, the Midrash says the only one he really suspected was Rachel, and that connects with the whole Trafim thing. He buries them. He gets rid of the idols that they have, and then we go up to Beit El, and Hashem appears to him, and it says, I'm giving you this land. And
Beit El is
Beit El.
Beit El.
No, Beit El is Beit El.
I thought his whole Chavam was on
Beit El is Beit El. We know where Beit El is. It's Luz. We have, the text tells us. It used to be called Luz. It is in Eretz Binyamin near Har Ephraim. We know where it is. There's a Midrash that the ladder he saw went over the Makom Mikdash. Nobody thinks that the place he laid down there was in Yerushalayim. Uh-huh. Right? He laid down in the place called Beit El, which used to be called Luz. It says, Ulam Luz Shei Ma'il Rishona. We know where Luz is. Shoftim Aleph. We know where Luz is. It's in Eretz Ephraim.
No, it's between Shechem and Yerushalayim.
Yeah, we know Beit El. You know where Beit El is. It's not far from Beit El today. It's Beitin. It's on the 60. Actually, there's a little village there. Right? So, I mean, I'm familiar with the Midrash. The Rashi quotes the Midrash. The Ramban quotes the Midrash. The Midrash is talking about the ladder, and the ladder is the Shipua, if that's what the ladder is. If it's a Sulam, if it's really a ladder. In any case, and notice here, Vavo Yaakov Luza Asher Be'eretz Kanan Hi Beit El Hu V'cholam Asher Imo. All right, and he builds them his Beach, etc. And then Hashem appears to him again, and he promised them land, give them all this land. And then what happens after this whole scene? He continues traveling, and evidently he's traveling south because he's on the road to Beit Lachem when Rachel goes to the Bridget, dies, Binyamin's born, Rachel's buried, Matzevet Kruat Rachel, and then he continues on to Hebron, so he's going south. Which means that Yaakov came to Shechem and then left and never goes back to Shechem. But guess what happens? His sons go back to Shechem. After the whole scene with Yosef's dreams, what is the next pasuk we read? Pasuk 5. Vayichu Echav lirot et son avihem b'Shechem. The sons go back to Shechem, and that's where they're herding around. All right? It continues later on. Yosef, nobody remember, what was the big oath that Yaakov issued to Yosef before he died? Bury me in Chevron. El mi'aratz de'a machpelah. Right, Shama Kavruat Avraham Betzara, etc. Right? What's the big oath that Yosef makes his brothers take? Right here, the source 6. Sevelachav Elohim made, and Pokodiv Kodetchem, Elatchem, and Aretz Azot, Allah Aretz, Ashinishbal Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and take me with you. And where, by the way, in source 7 is Yosef himself buried? In Shechem, in exactly the land where father bought that land, that plot. Then we're told, okay, now remember this. Avram comes to Shechem and then leaves, never goes back. Yaakov comes to Shechem, then leaves, never comes back. The brothers go to Shechem and then they leave and we never hear them going back. And by the way, what happened when Avram got to Shechem? Built him his Beach, very nice, hunger, famine, leave. Yaakov comes to Shechem, what happens?
Yeah.
Rape, massacre, terrible thing, leaves, never comes back. The brothers come to Shechem. What happens? Terrible, terrible disputes among them about the treatment of Yosef. Never go back. What are we told to do when we enter the land? The first place we're told to go to is Shechem. The first place we're told to. The Ovrachem et Yarden. When you cross the Yarden, you're supposed to go to Shechem. That's the first place. You go there and do the, right? Do the bracha and klala and that whole scene. Okay? And we actually hear about it in Yoshua. Yoshua goes up and builds the Mizbeach on Har Ebal and does the whole ceremony in Perek Chet. Beautiful piece. Okay. Yoshua goes back to Shechem. Why does he stay in Shechem? Interestingly enough, there's never a battle for Shechem. Shechem, nowhere in Sefer Yoshua is there ever a battle for Shechem. Rav Yoel Ben-Nun has a very interesting shita about why that is. But there's no battle. But what does Yoshua do? He goes back to Shechem at the end for the Brit. Right? At the Brit. The whole Brit, Perek Chaf Dalet, is in Shechem. Source 10, by a Sofi Yoshua called Shiftei Yisrael Shechema, by a Kral Zignei Yisrael Shav, Shoftav, 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 by Yomer, call by Yoshua, El Yisrael, call Amar, the Rayel, Hey Yisrael, by Abraham Nahar, sound familiar? Yashua, Vatecham Yolam, Terach, Avi Abraham, Vamin Achor, by Avdu, Avim Achimim, by Kachat Avichem, Bet Abraham, right? That whole piece. And then he says to them, and you're going to keep the breed, you're going to be loyal to God, you can't worship other gods. Yes, we will. And he makes them take an oath, and he writes it down, and he puts it in Torah to Elohim, Bit Sefer Torah to Elohim, underneath the tree. It's all in Shechem. And then they bury Yosef there. And then what happens? They leave. When's the next time that Shechem plays a prominent role in history? Take a look at Source 11. Shlomo, at the end of his life, or at the end of his career, acted badly. I'm making it up. It's right there, Malachim Aleph Yud Aleph. He married women he wasn't supposed to marry, and he at least enabled Avodah Zarah, and all this stuff. And what does Hashem say to him? Because of what you've done, I'm taking the kingdom away from you. But because I love your father so much, there's two things I'm going to do. I'm not going to do it in your life, because if I do it in your life, that means there was no dynasty. I'm going to let you die and then do it in your son's life. Second thing is, I'm going to give you guys one piece. That's Yehuda. And then Achiah Shiloni, Achiah the Navi from Shiloh, finds your Avam and tells him the Nevuah that you're going to be in charge. Take 10 pieces, you're going to be in charge. Okay. Rechavam, Shlomo dies. Rechavam, his son, needs to be crowned. Why does he need to be crowned? He doesn't need to be crowned. He's the crown prince. He needs to be crowned because there was a lot of dissatisfaction with Shlomo. Because Shlomo taxed the hell out of everybody. And there was a lot of dissatisfaction. So he had to go get crowned again. He had to get confirmed. Where does he go to get confirmed? He should stay in Yerushalayim. Where does he go? Vayelech Rechavam Shechem. Ki Shechem ba'chol Yisrael melichoto. By the way, Rechavam goes to Shechem, and what happens there? The people pose a question to him. Are you going to lighten up the taxes or not? If you lighten up the taxes, we'll be loyal to you. And Rechavam famously sits down with the elders and they say, listen to what they say, and you'll have a people. And then he goes and listens to his buddies he grew up with, and they say, you tell them, my pinky is bigger than my father's waist. Katoni Avam Yot Ne'avi. It's a great line. You think he taxed you, you just wait. And like an idiot, he listens to them. Right? Stira, Binyan Narim Stira. And he goes and he tells them that, and they say, the heck with you, we're done with you. And they rebel, and that's the end of the United Kingdom. By the way, Rechavam never goes back to Shechem. He sends a tax collector to Shechem, which is a real dumb move, and that guy doesn't make it out of Shechem. It's kind of like today. I was asking a friend a little while ago. He had been in Jenin the night before. I said, do you think I can go into Jenin? He says, getting in is not a problem. Getting in is not a problem. It's getting out's a problem. But this guy doesn't make it out of Shechem, and Rechavam is about to declare war on them, and Hashem sends a Navi, Shmaya Ish Elohim. It tells him, don't go to war, back off, and this is all Ritzon Hashem, and boom. And that's it. And we're done with Shechem. What's going on? So I'd like to suggest that we are so Yerushalayim files, which is great. It's great that we love Yerushalayim, that we don't necessarily read what's happening in Bereishit accurately. Consistently, the Avot, not Yitzchak, doesn't move much, but the Avot, Avram, Yaakov, and the brothers are all gravitating to Shechem. Something bad happens, and they move out. Which means that they're looking at Shechem as the ideal place to be, the ideal position to be, the ideal place in the land to be, but circumstances made it a reality of what we would call not yet. Not ready yet. Avram comes, and by the way, what did Hashem say? Asher Areka. How's God going to show him? Well, he comes to the land, and there's a famine. He's got to leave. Yaakov comes to Shechem, because that's supposed to settle down. He buys land there. He's settling down there. That's the land. What did Hashem actually tell him? Shuv el Eretz Avotecha. Now, by the way, had Yaakov settled down in Shechem and nothing happened with Dinah, what would he have done then? At some point, after he settled down, he would have taken a day trip to Beit El, built the Mizbeach, and gone back to Shechem. Fulfill the Nadir. But instead, what happens? Dinah. And as a result of the massacre, what does Yaakov say to his sons? Everybody's going to kill us. We better get out of here. Now, they travel, and everybody's afraid of them. Everybody's afraid of them. But how long is that going to last? So Yaakov knows he can't stick around. So circumstances made it not fortuitous. The next generation, maybe we're ready to go to Shechem. They go up to Shechem. And in the meantime, what they do? Mechirat Yosef. And in every generation, there seems to be an attempt to get back there as the real center of the land, the heartland.
Why?
Why?
Where did they even know? Hashem showed Avram Har Moriah on Yerushalayim.
Right.
That was shown. But
good.
Why Shechem?
Parenthetically.
Where you ever see it?
Parenthetically. Where is Har Moriah? You're right. We don't know. We don't know. All we're told is go to Eretz HaMoriah and go up to one of the mountains. Where's Eretz HaMoriah? I don't know. Divrei Hayamim Bayit Sheni tells us Behu Moriah, Yerushalayim. There's no connection in Bayit Rishon literature, right? Now, parenthetically, in parentheses, within the parentheses, the Samaritans say, you know what Har Moriah is? Har Gerizim. By the way, that's much closer to being a 3-day walk from Beersheba than Yerushalayim is, important to know. But it's the interesting thing. Although Avram could have gone in circles. Nonetheless, when Hashem shows him Har Moriah, what does he show him? That's the place we're going to take Yitzchak for the Korban. Right? They believe the Korban was up on Gerizim. That's where you're going to take Yitzchak for the Korban, but that's not necessarily the core of the land I'm giving you. When Avram arrives in Shechem, he says, this is the land, and he builds a Mizbeach.
So I guess that's the question. Why? What prompted him to say, I've hit my spot?
God can say whatever he wants to say. It could be that because it really is the center of the heartland of the land that Hashem is giving us. It really is the core, right in the middle. It actually travel routes much more well-placed, strategically well-placed than Yerushalayim. Even as far as the ancient spice routes that go right through there. Right? Resource-wise. Why Yerushalayim? Why does Yerushalayim end up getting picked? There's one very simple reason Yerushalayim ends up getting picked. Imshat. It's right on the border of Yehuda and Binyamin. Because what is David's big concern? Is Binyamin. And justifiably so. We see that through the Avshalom story.
Shechem is where?
Shechem is in the middle of Ephraim and Asher, Yosef's territory. Which is what I think leads the Paitan to say the following thing. We'll end with this. This pasuk in Tehillim. This pasuk in Tehillim. Noda bi Yehuda Elohim bi Yisrael gadol shmo. Now the mention of Yehuda and Yisrael together can be parallels, can be synonyms, and it can also be referring to the southern kingdom and the northern kingdom, Yehuda and Yisrael. And this is a parak that in some minhagim is said on the first, in the Vilna Gaon's minhag is said as the Shir Shalom on the first day of Sukkot. Vahi v'shalem suko u'ma'onato b'tzion. How would you translate that? I didn't put a translation down. Vahi v'shalem suko u'ma'onato b'tzion.
The sukkah is in Shalem?
So, it could be, and it will happen when his sukkah is complete and his dwelling place in Tzion. The problem is then the pasuk is awkward. Because there's no location in the first half. The parallel doesn't work. So I'd like to suggest the way to read it is Vayhi v'shalem suko u'ma'onato b'tzion. His sukkah will be in Shalem and his dwelling place in Tzion. And this is clearly alluding to Yaakov. Because who's the first guy to have a sukkah? Is Yaakov. Who's the first guy to come to Shalem? Yaakov. Right? Now, if you read Shalem as being Yerushalayim, then that works differently. I'm saying that this may be read as Shalem of Yaakov, not Shalem of Abraham, the Shalem of Yaakov up north, as saying this is the prophetic image of the unification of the two kingdoms. Vahi v'shalim suko uma onato b'tzion, when God's presence is felt in both places and his rule is over both places, then, you know, this continues on, and that's nodab yudai elohim b'yisrael gadol shmo, his name will be indeed great when they're unified. And the unification means that ultimately there has to be a presence in Shechem, in this case along with Yerushalayim, of Am Yisrael, ultimately reaching it. It seems that throughout the history in Bereishit and Yehoshua and even in Malachim, Shechem is the place we'd like to get to, but we're not yet ready, and circumstances keep pushing us away, but we keep striving to get there. Hopefully soon.